Welcome to Help My Midlife Sucks, the show that digs into the number one question that flashes across the mind of almost everyone over 50. Is this all there is? Through personal insights, awe-inspiring guests, and entertaining stories, you'll discover the answer is hell no, and uncover your own ability to restore your juice and make this time of life the best ride ever. Now here's your host, Lori Dean.
If excuses, fears, and big butts are holding you back, then you need to hear from Jean Robar. She's the no buts about it motivational speaker who helps those of us of a certain age take the suckiness out of midlife, and she's going to share how to do that in the second half of tonight's show. But right now, it's time to tame our inner shrew, to face it and to tame it so that we can have more of what we really want. And if you aren't sure you have such a creature or aren't even sure what that means, well, you're about to find out. And so am I, because my first guest is an expert in helping us identify and tame our inner shrews. She is Alexandria Barker. She's an author, speaker, and inspired living coach specializing in holistic stress solutions, personal development, and spiritual growth. Alexandria is also a certified yoga and meditation teacher, Reiki master, and crystal therapist and chakra therapist who's been educating, inspiring, and coaching people how to live their best lives for about 14 years now. Her signature program is called Wishful Thanking, Seven Simple Steps to Abundance. It blends law of attraction techniques with chakra therapy and encompasses gratitude techniques as well. And she is here to help us seekers elevate our lives above the ordinary and rediscover ourselves in a pretty unique way. Oh, and in case you recognize the name, it's likely because Alexandria has been on the show before. And last time she was here, she taught us how to care and feed our chakras. You can check out the replay of that conversation, by the way. Just go to helpmymidlifesucks.com. But do it after tonight's show, because of course you don't want to miss any of what Alexandria is going to share with us right now. And neither do I. So let's get to it as I welcome back to the show, Alexandria Barker. Thanks for joining us once again, Alexandria. It is so great to have you back.
Oh, thank you, Lori. It's such a pleasure to be here and with you and with your listeners. And it's quite an honor for me. So thank you for inviting me back to your show.
Very much my pleasure. And I'm so curious about this topic we're going to be discussing. But before we get into it in any great detail, how do you define the term shrew?
Well, I was kind of soft-pedaling that because I didn't want to offend anybody, but my first working title was to turn your inner bitch into your BFF.
Ah,
so
I love
your
it.
Your inner shrew is your inner bitch.
Yeah.
Basically, I was just trying to kind of tone it down, and I thought I kind of liked the whole taming of the shrew.
Yeah.
So I went with taming of the inner shrew, too. But it's that inner mean girl that most of us have, and she can be sly and sneaky. She's that little voice that says things that usually aren't very nice. And it's funny, you know, I always remember when somebody said, I heard this a long time ago, and somebody said, if you're wondering what little voice, it's that little voice that just asks that. So we do have, you know, a running commentary usually going on in our mind, sort of in the background, just playing in the background subliminally. But it's the little voice that will tell you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, and who cares what you think anyway, and blah, 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 blah. They may be more subtle than that. But, you know, these little voices do tend to be there and hold us back from all that we can be.
So these little voices, these bitches, are kind of attacking us more than sort of being a bitch towards others in our life? Or is it a combination?
Yeah, I'd say I'm more concerned about what they do to us, because then that is reflected elsewhere. Because you find that the people who are the most miserable to other people are the ones who are probably being victimized the most with their own little inner so-and-so, you know.
We really beat ourselves up with that voice, don't we? We can really do a number on us.
It's so true. And the reason why, like, it goes unnoticed. And that's because, just generally speaking, our thoughts tend to be habitual. Like, people say as many as maybe 80% of our thoughts are just habitual, running over and over, just old tapes playing over and over in our minds. And so that's why they sound so familiar that we don't even really notice them. And that's why they also ring true to us, because we've heard it so many times. But these were probably installed by, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, well-meaning people. Who maybe said something the wrong way, or we internalized it the wrong way. But even telling a little girl who might be on the rounder side that, you know, her clothes are too tight, maybe she internalized that as being fat. I'm not saying that she had horrific, you know, caregivers or teachers or whoever, but although some have, you know, but and just these words that, you know, are getting a, you know, why aren't you as smart as your brother or sister, or, you know, how come you're not funny? You know, like parents can maybe say things like that even in jest, you know, and it can be internalized and really taken to heart and stored.
How does this show up later in our lives, this inner shrew or these kind of messages that we get when we're so young and vulnerable?
Well, they could just come up whenever you're ready to step outside the box, you know, whenever you're ready to take on the world in a bigger way. And I find in my own personal journey, it's come up for me, you know, anytime I really wanted to step forward and play a bigger game. Like when I went from being a writer, I was a writer with a columnist with a newspaper, and I had written for the Toronto Star, which is one of our largest, the largest paper in Canada where I live. And my little voice was fine with that. But when I decided to write a book, all I kept hearing was just kept, you know, who are you to write a book? Like, who's going to read your, you know, like it just kept popping up. And I found that there's several different ways that we'll explore a little bit in this phone call about how you can narrow that down. But you do have to kind of shine the light, like shine the spotlight. Like this, like most cowards, you know, our little inner bitch is cowardly. And if you shine the light, the little voice doesn't like that, you know. It doesn't like being in the spotlight and go, hey, wait a minute, let's have a look at what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, was that true? You know, and there's so many ways it can come out. Like if you wanted to write a book, or if you were wanting to take a course, or if you wanted to go back to school in your 50s, that little voice would come up maybe and say, you're too old, you're going to look like an idiot with all those kids, you know, what's the point anyway, your past is like anything like that that's playing in your head, you can trust is not the truth. Because the way my personal belief is, if I'm hearing anything that is not loving and kind and supportive, it is not coming from source. You know, it's not true.
And this little voice likes to keep us sort of stuck in our comfort zone, I guess, because like you mentioned, when you wanted to play a bigger game, that's when your voice really got loud and sort of reared its head.
Yeah.
And I think for so many of us at this stage of life, this is when we are looking around to maybe play a bigger game or a different game. And so I really think this inner shrew voice gets quite loud.
Oh, it does. And we have to have the courage to really take a look at it and see what it has to say and challenge it. And so this is probably a good time to just jump right into that.
I was just going to ask you, how can we start to challenge this?
I like to just get right into it and say, okay, like, and really, really challenge it. Like, if depending on what the little voice is saying. Now, if it's saying something like, you're too old to do dot, 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 then we're so fortunate these days to have Google, you know, and we can just Google people who have been successful at this age and see how many things come up. You're probably going to have hundreds, you know, of examples that will prove that, okay, that is not true, that you're too old for this. So then you can start looking at, okay, what if this little voice is saying, you know, you're not smart enough for this? And you can go, well, I'm an educated person, and maybe it's about because you, maybe like me, you've struggled with math. And I struggled with math right up to grade 11 until I had a teacher who was able to figure out, oh, you didn't get this concept, taught probably in grade 2. No wonder you struggled. He explained it to me, and I graduated with a second class honors with that quote, you know. So that's now anytime I hear, oh, you're not good at math. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, I have an example to challenge that little voice. Or I can just flat out say, I've got a computer. I've got a calculator, and I'm smart enough to work that. So it's having that look, like actually looking and citing examples is a really big, I mean, there are so many people who have accomplished so much, even like in their 80s, you know, so really if you're in your 50s or 60s, that age barrier has just is no longer there. It's not valid to say I'm too old.
Before we go further, Alexandria, I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. So when that kind of thing starts to come up for us at this age, we can look to the past for an example that disproves that. So for example, in your case, the saying, I'm not good at math, you had that example of actually you got the proper help. You were good at math. You could sort of turn that around and say, oh, that isn't true because, and then you can actually go back and cite an example so that we can do that in our own lives. If that little voice tries to say, oh, you can't do that. Or you're not good enough. We can say, oh, really? And then go back to something that happened in our lives that disproves this voice?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've helped a lot of people with this in the capacity as a life coach. I help people that. And I have an exercise, a self-love exercise, if people are listening with a pen and paper. And this is really important. So the step one of this would be awareness. So pay attention to how you speak to and about yourself. You know, not necessarily what you're saying out loud to other people, but what's going on in your head. So if you find yourself saying something like, oh, you're a moron, or oh, you're too old for this, or when are you going to learn, or you screw everything up, anything like along those lines, you just mentally say stop, and you might actually picture a stop sign, you know, anything to stop it, or, you know, and then you can come back and examine it. Because even though those words do sound true, they will make you feel bad about yourself. They're not supportive words. So what we want to do is cultivate a loving, supportive inner voice, not this negative Nelly, you know. So because when you're feeling bad about yourself, it leads to things like staying in relationships or jobs that don't serve you, or eating and drinking things that to excess or just things that aren't good for you. Maybe ignoring basic self-care because you don't feel deserving. Like you say, you can get really beat up with that.
Yeah.
So one really good thing is just to really take notice and to challenge it. Like I was saying, if your inner voice is saying you're too old for this, you do a Google search and get examples. But the idea is to challenge any negative statement that keeps sort of coming up, keeps coming to the surface, because that is going to, by challenging it, you're going to weaken its hold on you. So, and by replacing it with a new positive thought, that new positive thought is going to become more automatic. And then eventually the negative ones won't even surface. And then you're going to naturally stay in a higher vibration, which we know through law of attraction, that's, you know, going to improve your life automatically, like right away.
What are some examples of positive thoughts that we can start to use to replace the negative self-talk?
Well, you could almost just go with the opposite. Like if it's coming up saying, you know, like, well, it's another technique is actually get into the affirmations. So you could say, I am whatever your inner voice is saying. If you're saying like, oh, you mess everything up, you can say, oh, I successfully complete my tasks, or I have like an affirmation just to kind of go back, you know, and really make sure people understand what that is. An affirmation is a thought you choose to think because you want the results that they're going to inspire. So affirmations should always be written or spoken in the present tense and in the most positive way possible. So your inner bitch is saying, you don't, maybe you're wanting a new romance, you know, in your life, and your inner bitch is going, you're too old, statistics say, you're not going to meet anybody. So you can just say, I deserve unconditional love. I totally love and forgive and accept myself exactly as I am. You know, I choose to treat myself as I would my best friend. So those are just a few. I am the master of my life. That's another good one. So you just find the words, powerful, positive phrasing. You find the words that really work for you and write them out. Like you might write them 10 times a day, you know, or 10 times once a day, rather. And you might want to do that for 7 days or 10 days until it starts to really be the predominant thought. Because it's kind of like if you're walking a path in the grass, and if you always walk the same route, you know, that path is going to be well-worn. You can walk it without even thinking of it. It's like people driving to work. You don't even think about it till you get to work. And you're like, how did I even get here? I was on autopilot. And then if you decide, but sticking with the grass analogy, say you always walk the same route in your yard and you've worn a path. And then you decide you're going to walk a different path, which is changing the new thought. right? So at first, it's going to be maybe a little bit of struggle because it's something new. You're going to have to forage through whatever. Say you're walking out in the wilderness and it's a new path there. So you have to break down the weeds a little bit. But the more you tromp on it, it's going to become a new path. And the old one is going to grow over until, like, at one point, those thoughts won't even surface anymore because you'll just laugh at them when they do. Like in the case of with my book, when I did successfully complete and you know, I sold hundreds and hundreds of copies. So when I was preparing to write the second book, I didn't have that little voice because it was clearly not true because I had clearly done it. So there was no little voice going, who are you to write a book, blah, blah, blah. It was like, oh, okay. You know, and so that wasn't there. Now, not to say that negative voice has completely disappeared. It has surfaced in other areas, you know, at different times. But each time when it does, I recognize that, okay, this is not in my best interest. This little voice, and people will argue that it's trying to keep you safe and it's trying to do all this, but if it's contrary to what you want, if you're wanting to step out into the world in a bigger way, you don't want to be held hostage to some old, ancient, old thought that's been holding you back for maybe decades.
And I think this is so important for those of us in our 50s to get, is that we do actually have a choice now. We may not have had control over what was said to us or taught to us or what we chose to believe when we were growing up because we didn't even really know we were choosing those beliefs. But now we do. So this kind of negative self-talk, this inner bitch, we don't have to believe what she tells us anymore. We can choose something different. The affirmations you were talking about, something that is more positive, more self-love. And I think for a lot of women anyway, that can be really tricky because we are so used to caring for others, showing affection and love for others. But when it comes to looking after ourselves on this level, I think this is where we start to squirm a little bit and get uncomfortable. So I think the examples that you're sharing and the words that you're encouraging us to start thinking about are very, very important for those of us listening to not only get on the surface level, but to really start to take in to ourselves and to practice.
Yeah, and I, you're right, Lori, and I do agree that the practice is a really important component of this because everyone wants to be happy, and really everyone is seeking out maybe better jobs or better homes or whatever because they want the feeling that they believe they're going to have when they achieve that thing. But really, everyone's going for happiness, and that comes from inner peace, and that comes from self-love. So we're right back to self-love as being the basics. And that's more than just, you know, eating right and exercising and, you know, looking after yourself that way. It does go so much deeper. So I have another exercise I would like to share with your readers.
Yeah.
I still have time to do that. And I love this. And now some of these things may sound familiar, and I'm not saying I originated each and every process, but I have used them and adapted them and made them my own. So another one that I really like is, and I believe this one I got the original idea from Abraham Hicks, and it's like a list of appreciation, but it's appreciating yourself. So if you get a book and entitle it like your self-love book, and in it write 30 things that you appreciate about yourself. Like, can be anything. Could be, I like my pretty eye, or things that other people have even told you they appreciate about you if you're really stuck. You know, maybe you have a nice laugh, or maybe you have pretty eyes, or a great sense of humor, or you're an artist, or whatever. So you list 30 things in this book, and then you review it, you know, on a daily basis. Like, I've done these, I've created actually a course around this. So I really encourage people to do it on as regularly as possible to really integrate these ideas, this new vision that they're creating for themselves. So you create your 30 things that you like about yourself, and then you review that on a daily basis. And then we take it one step further. So you can pick one item and do one item a day for a month. And some people like to do this in front of a mirror. They like to just get in front of the mirror so they can see themselves, so that can be very powerful for some people. But say you've chosen, you know, I really like my hair. So you would stand there and do some mirror talk around, yes, my hair is shiny, it's soft, I'm lucky that it's so abundant, and, you know, it's not falling out or whatever, but really pump yourself up about that thing and do it in front of the mirror or just do it written, but pick one thing every month. And I've kind of elaborated on that. Like I said, I take a germ of an idea and then I kind of build on it too. So in terms of that, if you're celebrating, say, your hair that day, then why not treat yourself to a new hairstyle? You know, or a new hair product that you haven't tried, or like to really reinforce that. Like today I am celebrating my hair, or today I'm celebrating I have beautiful lips, you know, so you might want to treat yourself to a new lipstick, you know, so we're kind of getting the whole celebrating yourself and along with treating yourself and things like a new lipstick. You know, anybody can afford that. It's just a matter of doing it and deciding that you deserve it, right? You've got pretty eyes that you're putting on, you know, your eyeshadow is 2 years old and you're just using like the little scraps that are there. Toss it, get yourself a new one. So it's that. It's like celebrating who you are, but also having that sort of a foundational thing to fall back on, to read through every day. Yes, I like this about me, this about me, this about me. You know, and you continue that for the whole 30 days and even beyond, you know, and like I say, you might want to look in your eyes in the mirror and say nice things about you, or you might just want to do it just with a pen and paper. But yeah,
I can see how that can really change how we go forth in the world. And I guess by doing this, too, it's really going to help us get more of what we want. Can you talk about that a bit more, about what exactly goes on in our self-esteem when we start to take on these kinds of more positive approaches to ourselves?
Well, it really does start to shift. It's just new realizations will start to come to the surface, and you're going to start to really look at yourself with new eyes. And as that happens, as you're formulating these new thoughts, and at the same time, you're kind of drowning out or sidestepping the little negative thoughts that are there, your self-esteem will improve. And as we know through the law of attraction, we get more of what we think about. So as you're recognizing more and more how of value you are in all these many ways, you're emitting that. You're radiating that out into the world. And that's what other people are going to notice. You know, they're not going to see, oh, well, she's... Did you see she has a pimple? No, maybe you're focused on the, or maybe you were in past days, but they're going to be like drawn, you will notice, like all of a sudden you're going to get compliments, you know, on the particular item, or just because you're radiating it out. And as we know, as we raise our vibration, we connect with, because we're vibrational beings and our thoughts and the emotions kind of radiate out and match up with similar thoughts and emotions and experiences, your quality of life will go up. And you'll just start to feel more and more worthy and deserving, which actually leads me to another self-love exercise I'd love to share with your listeners.
Sure.
So you've identified your 30 things. That can be a real challenge for people. So I really say stick with it. And you might have to go through your memory or you might have to use your imagination, but I really would encourage people to get at least your 30 and stick with that for 30 days. But another one that's really key to self-love is feeling worthy. And I love that I was listening to another call. I love to share this example because I was going through it as a call that I was doing with a coach, and we were going through the I am worthy, I am worthy. And I was just listening to this, you know, lying down. I was just having a little rest at the end of the day and just thinking, I am worthy, I am worthy. And it was Valentine's Day, actually, and my husband walked through the door, and he had a big, beautiful living arrangement for me. He doesn't just get cut flowers, he gets like a garden sort of thing for me. And among this beautiful garden was a little rose that had red roses and then one white rose, one single white rose. And my husband pointed this out to me, and he said, now, the florist said there was something significant about this because they had put it together, you know, with the, he didn't just walk in by, they created this arrangement for me. And he said, yeah, there was something significant about that, but I don't remember what it was. And I was like, something significant. Well, I'm just too curious, you know. So I actually phoned the florist and I asked her, and she said what that meant was, I'm worthy. And my jaw just fell. I was like, because I had just been thinking, I am worthy, I'm worthy. And so here I had this living arrangement, which is still living. The rose is gone, but the arrangement survived. But it's just a living affirmation for me. So this next exercise is to go through, and you can use that same lovely notebook that you bought for yourself, for your, you know, my self-love, and write, I am worthy. Yeah, and you can just even start writing that, I am worthy, I am worthy, like a line for each one, and then go back and say, like, I am worthy of happiness. I'm worthy of true love. I'm worthy of a healthy, fit body. I am worthy of financial abundance. You know, whatever it is that you're feeling like you want more of, I am worthy of receiving compliments. I'm worthy of a happy, peaceful day. You know, and just fill up the page with that. And not only will your mood improve, which is, you know, pretty key. People tend to play it down, but that's really, really important. Because, again, as you improve your mood, you're improving what you're vibrating, and so you're going to attract a better life just solely based on that.
That's really cool. I love that. I love all the exercises you've shared, but I particularly resonate with that one because this whole idea of being unworthy is something that I've been overcoming for many years. So this changing it around, saying I am worthy of, and then filling in the blank is a very important and useful exercise. I think not only for me, but for so many of us women, again, at this stage of our lives.
Yeah, we've really had that hammered into it. If you don't do this, then you're not worthy. If you don't do that, you're not worthy. We're born worthy. We are worthy.
We just have to get back to that place of believing it for ourselves. And unfortunately, Alexandria, we are running out of time really quickly here. There's so much more
dear,
I'd love to get
in. So
but I want to find out how we can find out more about you and what you're up to. Do you have a website we can go to?
I do. My website, it's really easy for your listeners because it's alexandriabarker.com. So it's just my name, .com. And I'm going to share with you the link for, I am offering a free gift for our listeners if they would like to opt in. And it's a very cool book. It's going to be up for a limited time, but I'm hoping, you know, it should be through the end of June anyway, so it'll still be available. It is the first part of my Wishful Thinking, 7 Simple Steps to Abundance program, the book, which is part of my signature program. And this book is very cool because it is enhanced with video. So you're going to learn about meditation and visualization and making, you know, vision books and everything else, but you're going to read about it, but you will also have a little video talking to you about it, which is really cool.
Very cool. And how do we get that? Is it on your site or is there a special link?
It's a special free gift I'm offering. So it's my website. It's alexandriabarker.com/free-gift, and that will be provided to you too. So
we have about 25 seconds left, Alexandria. And what are you hoping that the listeners got out of our conversation tonight?
I just hope that they really realize that they are beautiful and wonderful and divine exactly as they are right now. And the more that they can realize that, the more they're going to see that reflected. Because, and as they work on these things like self-love and worthiness, they will see that new attitude reflected in their outer world. Because their reality is only a reflection of their inner world. So as they start working with it today, you're going to see results by the end of the month for sure. You will see tangible evidence that the universe is listening and responding to this fresh, beautiful new attitude. And you can change the world. You change the world every minute of the day, you know, every day of your life. So give yourself some credit and turn your, you know, by using these techniques, turn that inner bitch into your BFF, you know? And so they use the affirmations, and then you will have this supportive inner cheerleader who is going to help you do what you set out to do instead of blocking your way. And you can do it. And if anybody would like a little help with that, that's what I do. So feel free to connect with me, and we can do like a complimentary call just to explore how we might best serve each other.
Wonderful.
Or how I might best serve them, rather.
No, that's wonderful. Alexandria, you have shared so much with us, and I really appreciate all of your wisdom, all of your enthusiasm and passion, and all of the help and support that you're giving to me and the listeners. So thank you so much for being here again.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure. And have a wonderful day, everybody. And never doubt that you're making a difference. You know, you are.
Perfect.
With your every thought, and you can turn it around anytime, on a dime.
Thanks so much, Alexandria. Well, it's break time, but when I come back, Jean Bailey Robor will join the conversation. She is the No Buts About It motivational speaker, and she is going to help us get rid of those excuses, fears, and buts that are keeping us from living a full life. I'm Laurie Dean. This is Help My Midlife Sucks, and lots more to come. So please don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.